It sounds like it.
No, county.
Well, okay.
Mr. Chairman, Representatives Anderson and Gilman, if you look at the language where we're making the exception, it refers to the commission as the Land Conservation and Development Commission, not the Gorge Commission. What we're doing is amending the land use statute, which now says that LCDC, the Land Conservation and Development Commission, will perform planning functions in interstate compacts. That's the law now. All we're doing is saying LCDC will continue to perform planning in interstate compacts, except this one. LCDC will not be the planning agency in this compact. That's all it does.
See, that's where I was having, I was misinterpreting what commission
right.
referred to.
I had trouble with this, too, and I questioned the AG's office on it extensively because I thought that, in fact, what we were doing was allowing those counties, we were cutting them loose. He said, no, they are still involved in the land use planning process in Oregon. All this says is that the Land Conservation and Development Commission will not be the planning agency in this interstate compact. That's all it does.
Okay. Any other questions on that? We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Please continue.
Thank you. Moving along to page 7, section 7. Essentially, that's a transitional section that establishes the staggered terms. Section 8 abolishes the existing Columbia River Gorge Commission, effective with the appointments, the 4 appointments from each state and the ratification of this agreement by both states. Page 8, basically what we're doing there is cleanup type language. It abolishes, it repeals the statutes dealing with the existing commission, makes sections 9, 10, 11, and 13 effective on the date of this act. That's it. Are there any additional questions?
We'll come back to these pieces, so will you two be around for the rest of the hearing? Jeanette, if you need to leave, we can come back and get you when we go into the work session, if you'd like.
Call me if you need
Because
me.
I think there are a couple of these, including that we want to have some additional discussion about.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. At this
thank
point,
you.
At this point, I'd like to ask Representative Paul Bush to come forward. We're going to try to dig up Representative Kotelski. I think he's in Human Resources. The major part of the gorge area is in Representative Paul Bush's House District, and a piece of it on the west end is in Representative Kotelski's district in Multnomah County. Welcome, and pleased to take your testimony, Representative Paul Bush.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If Representative Kotelski had heard you say only a piece of this lies within his district, he would be very upset. We had a slight disagreement over just who had the majority. Since I'm here and he's not, I'll maintain that you're essentially correct, and we'll go from there if we may. For the record, Wayne Fobwish from Hood River. I never thought that I had hoped that someday I would be in this position here before you with this issue. Back in 1977, when I was a freshman legislator and proposed the bill that outlined the boundaries of the Columbia Gorge, this was a faint hope in the far future. I guess that's either an indication that things really do work or that I've been here too long, one of the two. But I'm glad that we have come to this point. I would just give you maybe a little local color as to the difficulty within the gorge area of having arrived at this particular point. It has been a major issue now for on the front burner for 4 years. There have been numerous efforts to try to come to agreement between the two states on how to utilize one of the most magnificent natural resources anywhere in the continental United States. You now have before you the proposal to do that, and the letter that I handed out to you is a copy from the forest industries who are located within the gorge and who were divided in their ranks during the debate, but once the bill passed Congress, they took a final look at it, It was their opinion that this was as good as they were going to get. They wanted to stop the debate and get on with their business. They were instrumental in convincing President Reagan to sign that legislation. They personally intervened with him when the president was debating whether or not to veto that. And I think that tells you more than anything the degree to which people have accommodated for the whole their own personal interests and concerns. There still remains a great deal of apprehension, however, over exactly what is going to happen. And that's where you come in. The expedience with which you can act on this bill will do nothing but to help. I deeply appreciate Governor Goldsmith putting this at the top of his agenda on the 60-day program, because out in Hood River and Wasco counties and East Multnomah counties and across the river, this is still a very contentious issue. And questions that you have been raising here that I've been listening to on the committee are the same questions that I'm hearing at home and that people are raising. What's going to happen? The land use issue. How many different layers of government are we going to have to administer this? The resource allocation. When will the federal funds be released? When will we begin to see some of the benefits that people have talked about in this legislation? And when will we be able to put the divisiveness behind us and get on with our business? These are all central to moving this bill as soon as possible. I would urge you not to act in haste. I think the land use issue is an important one. If I had any perspective to add on that, as much as I think you know that my history on land use is fairly strong, and I'm a very strong supporter of that concept. But I do not want to see an added layer at the local level for planning purposes. I think that would be much more negative, and I am willing to see that responsibility transferred to a direct link between the counties and the interstate bi-state commission without LCDC interfering. Bear in mind that is only going to affect the checkered areas. It does not affect the urban areas, and it does not affect the rest of the counties. In the urban areas and the rest of the counties, the traditional land use policies that we have with the interface through LCDC will still be in effect. But you will not add that additional layer of bureaucracy within the gorge with the Bi-State Commission. I think that really needs to be resolved in that direction.
Let me ask you, Wayne, and I think that was the nature of the confusion and questions a little while ago on this one suggested amendment. And that is, in those checkered areas, which is outside the cities, and it does not include the whole counties, but it's the part of the whole gorge program, in effect, what becomes the state LCDC is the gorge commission. You've got that layer, and then you've got the counties at the lower level, and you essentially proceed that way. LCDC,
Also, Mr. Chairman, on the Oregon side, there's really minimal impact as far as with that happening. Because much of what you see in the bill simply incorporated Oregon's land use planning process. We have an overlay both in Wasco and in Hood River counties. I think there's even an overlay for East Multnomah County that very closely fits what you see in the bill. That's what some of us would call foresight, and the detractors, obviously, of land use have called that, you know, governmental interference. But we're now in a position to move, I think, very quickly with a minimum amount of problem into that area. But there is so much concern now as to what's going to happen I want my folks to be able to talk to a single body and get an answer and not have that single body put them off by saying, well, we don't know what the state's going to do, or we haven't got it settled yet. That is a very unhealthy situation. And to promote that, I'll quit talking.
Thank you. Representative Kotulski.
For the record, Rick Kotulski, Representative District 22. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm not going to duplicate what Wayne has said, but Wayne and I do share the Columbia Gorge. He thinks he has more of it. I think I have the prettier part of it. I don't think any issue, however, has caused me more constituent calls over the years. As one example, when there was some hesitation in the president signing the bill, I got, during about a three-day period, I got about 20, 30 calls asking me to talk with Ron to get him not to sign the bill. I tried to explain to him I've never met the gentleman, and I'm of the wrong party, and he probably wouldn't listen to me anyway, and it's really not a state issue, it's a federal issue. But the feelings, it's an indication of the feelings up in my area. For years, the people in my part of the district fought the Columbia Gorge bill. I've got neighbors that live in the affected area. I've got neighbors that are worried what's going to happen to them. We've had several meetings since the bill has been signed, and there is, for the most part, I won't say it's unanimous, but for the most part, an attitude of change. The bill is passed. There's nothing we can do about it at this point other than live with it and try to make the best of it. And to make the best of it, I think that when this bill goes out to the floor, it needs to be emphasized over and over again that the federal bill speaks to two qualities in the gorge. One, the scenic qualities, and two, the economic development qualities. We need to emphasize that over and over again. And I'm concerned about my own little town, Corbett, because we're outside an urban area, but we are inside the scenic area. And God knows what is going to happen there. And my influence with Congress was really, you know, very instrumental in developing that dilemma for my area. I'm also...
You're responsible? What?
You're responsible? Yeah. Well, you know, talking to our U.S. senators and our congressmen is not always the easiest thing, although probably some of my constituents say that about me, too. But I want to emphasize those two parts, and I also want to second what Wayne has said. This bill does have an emergency clause on it. Let's get it through. Let's get the commission started. Let's have the governor appoint his people and get the counties to appoint their people and start moving forward so that my people in East Multnomah County that are affected by this can start to see that they've got an agency in the commission they can work with and not one that is going to be dictated to them. And with that, I will cease and thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you. Anyone have questions of either one of our witnesses? No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
At this point, we have several people who've signed up to testify. Ward Armstrong, the Oregon Forest Industries Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Ward Armstrong with the Oregon Forest Industries Council, and it's a real pleasure for me to be here today in support of this measure. Our legislative committee has voted to support both this measure and the companion bill on the Senate side. We have a number of members who are affected, have land ownership in the Columbia River Gorge, and they followed this legislation through the passage through the Congress, worked out the compromises that were important to that success, and they believe it is very important now for this compact, this bi-state compact, to get underway. And it's important legislation for them and for us, and I'd urge your adoption, considering the very important questions that have been raised. Those are legitimate questions, and I know you all address them carefully and resolve them. But we believe it's as good legislation as should pass.
Thank you very much. Are there questions of the witness? Representative Parkinson.
I got a question just for my own information, I guess. But now the timber companies that have holdings in the gorge, I just heard a smattering of conversation about it, but I think that I heard someone say the federal government is trading you out of your holdings, part of your holdings, or how's that working?
A witness who is coming in a few minutes is really better qualified to answer that. Dick Posakenny will be here in a few minutes, and he can answer that, and I am not qualified to.
Be fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank
who
you,
was the other one, Ward, that you mentioned could answer?
Nick Posakenny. Do you want to get
I don't think. Yeah, he's on the list, too. Why don't we have you come up then next and we can respond to that question?
Oh. Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Dick Pozzacani. I am the timber and land manager for Frank Lumber Company Incorporated, Mill City. I'm here today representing Frank Lumber Company and the Columbia Gorge Forest Industry Group as their State of Oregon coordinator. The Columbia Gorge Forest Industry Group includes six companies with interest in the gorge that have been active participants in the debate over gorge legislation. These companies are Broughton Lumber Company, Cavenham Forest Industries Incorporated, Frank Lumber Company Incorporated, Longview Fiber Company, SDS Lumber Company, and Times Mirror Land and Timber Company. Historically, the timber industry in the gorge has been opposed to gorge legislation as being unnecessary. But given the political realities in Congress, we remain substantially involved in the legislative process. Ultimately, our group of six companies asked President Reagan to sign the gorge legislation bill passed by Congress, and a copy of that letter is included in your information. We did so only after significant changes had been made to the substitute bill, which was introduced by all four members of the Northwest, all four Northwest senators last August 7th. In brief, our group supported the final Scenic Area Act because, one, the bill struck a fair balance for forest landowners, providing for expedited exchanges with the United States Forest Service for land in the special management areas, and allowing continued management of forest land outside the SMAs in accordance with the Oregon and Washington Forest Practice Acts. Two, the bill provided for a high level of state and local control in the gorge. And three, our concern that the 1987 Congress might pass a bill with greater federal restrictions and controls, which would be less favorable to the forest landowners. Now that the gorge legislation is law, the Columbia Gorge Forest Industry Group supports its implementation. Enabling legislation establishing the Bi-State Gorge Commission must be passed in both Washington and Oregon. In Oregon, Governor Goldschmidt has made the enabling legislation for the gorge a part of his 8-point, 60-day priority action plan. The Columbia Gorge Forest Industry Group urges the Oregon legislature to take prompt action to pass the enabling legislation, which is House Bill 2472. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions of the witness?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative.
Dick, do you know if there's any small forest industry operators that still oppose moving forward with the gorge legislation?
Representative Sawa, I cannot speak for those others, but I think that there are some forest landowners, not a part of our group, that are probably opposed to the legislation.
Is another question?
Yes. Chairman.
Is this Smith property that's right on the edge of the gorge there, is that in your group or is that out?
Our group, Mr. Smith is a landowner adjacent to our property and within the boundary of the gorge, and he and a number of other people have been invited to area meetings. I have not discussed with him this issue recently, although a year and a half ago or so when I did visit with him, maybe 2 years ago, he was sort of making plans to line up his property in such a way that he would be least affected if legislation did pass. But further than that, I have not visited with Raymond Smith recently.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Parkinson, did you get your question answered or not?
Well, I'd like him to elaborate a little bit on it. I think you heard the previous question. Is all of the private timber holdings in the checkered area being exchanged?
No, sir, they are not, Representative Parkinson. The plan is that that private forest land that lies within the special management areas will be traded. That is, the private landowners will be traded out of their property for Forest Service land in other areas, and a number of national forests would participate in that. The amount of land that is within the boundary but outside of the special management area would not be traded but would remain in private ownership and would be allowed to be managed according to the state's Forest Practice Act. This was one of the points that we six landowners worked pretty seriously on in the federal legislation, because we think that's very important. That property that's outside the special management areas is a tremendously significant amount of area, and it represents a great deal of assets to the various companies.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Parkinson.
Just a little bit more. Would this be area that's out of sight of people when they're driving down the gorge? What takes it out of the special management areas? And then it's the general areas? Is that what it would be, general areas?
For the most part, it's background visual areas. Some of it is out of sight. Some of the areas that's in the special management area is actually out of sight, as in the case of some of our property. Particularly on the Oregon side, we have the cliff off the shore of the Columbia River, and then it's a plateau. And some of the land that is classed in the special management area in the Bridal Veil Creek area, that is some of Frank Holdings, is actually on the back side of the Bridal Veil Ridge from the Columbia River. But in order to kind of block it up and to make the best use of acceptable boundaries and so on, some of that property was included. But for the most part, the area, the special management areas were those that were determined by the people that drafted the bill initially as being very significant for the recreational and view shed aspects of gorge preservation.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't know how interested the committee is in this, but the areas that will be retained in private ownership and managed by them according to Oregon Forest Practice law, is that the one on the map that just has one line through it that says general areas? It all appears to either be special management areas, general areas, or urban areas. So it's the general area part.
We have a representative here from the Forest Service.
Oh, well, maybe he can.
Do we not? Where's the?
Yeah.
Yes. Can you come on up and introduce yourself and you respond to the question? Thank you. Just stay there.
Thank you, Chairman. Representatives, yes, that's correct. The areas on the map with.
Can you give us the name for the record, please?
Gene Zimmerman, assistant manager of the National Scenic Area. The areas on the map that have the single slash line through them are the areas that the commission would have primarily responsible for, and would be the areas that the State Forest Practices Act would be the ruling guidance.
I guess that answers my question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, thank you very much. Thank you. Our next witness is Carl Neuberger. Let me Gorge United.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Carl Neuberger, and Columbia Gorge United, who I represent, is a nonprofit corporation registered in the states of Oregon and Washington. Its chief purpose has been to oppose federal control over the lives and property of citizens living in or having property in the Columbia Gorge. It is the chief organization representing the rights of the 41,000 people who are affected by the recently passed Columbia Gorge National Scenic Area Act, Public Law 99663. I'm its board member representing Multnomah County. I'm here to oppose the establishment of a bi-state commission as required by the federal act. The act only requires the states to establish the commission in order to receive certain federal monies authorized by the legislation. If the states do not establish the commission, the Forest Service will manage the entire gorge and, most important, have to pay for this management with federal funds. If the states do establish the commission, they will be assuming an enormous cost that will continue in perpetuity and which will far outweigh the relatively small sums that have been promised by the federal government. Is the state of Oregon ready to encumber its citizens with this heavy, unneeded debt? Further, while the federal act authorizes these funds, it is still up to a future Congress to appropriate them. Given the time frames in the bill, this could not occur for at least 4 years. What will the condition of the country be by then? Will the national debt allow for the appropriation of funds for quote-unquote non-essential purposes, which this could be construed to be? The legislature must give serious consideration to the establishment of a commission which will eat up half of the promised funds before any funds can become available. And remember, these are phantom funds that may never be paid. Under manager Arthur Dufault, the Forest Service has established National Scenic Area offices in Hood River and is developing interim guidelines for the administration of the area. Mr. Dufault and his staff are generally from outside the area and the area of conflict which has so polarized Gorge residents and the radical environmentalists who forced the bill through Congress. He is a welcome, neutral force who has tried to ease the minds and assuage the fears of the residents. The people could probably live under the style of quote-unquote benign dictatorship he has thus far demonstrated. That is not to say that we will not try to overturn the act. Columbia Gorge United has a legal team working full-time to initiate a timely suit in the courts, a suit which would also involve the states and counties as parties if the commission is established. Columbia Gorge United recommends the following course of action. The state of Oregon declines to establish the bi-state commission because of unknown costs of management and potential court cases. The state of Oregon memorializes Congress to repeal the Columbia Gorge National Scenic Area Act, Public Law 99-663, and to pass legislation to permit the states of Oregon and Washington to establish a bi-state compact for the management of a scenic area in the Columbia River Gorge. All of the requirements that the federal government has tried to address in the matter of gorge protection can be handled very nicely at the state level and with participation of the counties. Such a type of management plan is already in effect for the protection of the headwaters of the Mississippi River and would work here as well. Actually, with LCDC regulations and a county overlay ordinance is already in place, the gorge in Oregon is already protected. The bi-state compact with Washington could include that state's passage of similar legislation that could complete the job. The beauty of such an arrangement could lessen considerably the enormous cost projected by the federal act, as well as the potential for costly lawsuits initiated by citizens over constitutional questions. Also, costs could be placed on a slower track, much more easily absorbed by the states that have serious financial difficulties now. The federal government has put the states of Oregon and Washington in a very uncomfortable position. It sets up requirements that the states must follow in order to receive a paltry sum in relation to the amounts the states must expend. Spells out chapter and verse just how the states must set up the commission, and then fully disclaims its responsibility for placing the states in such jeopardy by stating in the act that, quote, the commission shall not be considered an agency or instrumentality of the United States for the purpose of any federal law, unquote. We think the states should shoot the ball back into the feds' court By following the suggestions outlined here, and only one state needs to decline to set up the commission. We hope Oregon will be the one that puts common sense before the prospect of plunging into the unknown that the state will deeply regret. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the witness? No, we appreciate it. Our next witness is Bowen Blair, Friends of the Columbia Gorge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bowen Blair, and I'm the Executive Director of Friends of the Columbia Gorge. The Friends is a nonprofit organization of 4,000 members with offices in both Portland and Seattle. We are dedicated to the preservation of the scenic, natural, recreational, and cultural values of the gorge and to the education of the public regarding the gorge's tremendously varied and nationally significant resources. While we have not had an opportunity to study the bill before today's committee, I received it about half an hour ago. We do support it. I certainly didn't see anything in there that indicated